things. So let me start off in John 15, verse 5. And you can follow along in the slides behind me. It should be there, one of the first verses. And it's the words of Jesus. He says this, "I am the sprouting vine, and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless." Isn't that amazing? Amazing words. You could probably have 3 or 4 sermons just on that verse alone. And just to keep us right, I'm going to start a timer because I'm probably back to the old me. You know, the one that preached for 50, 60 minutes. I mean, no one wants that. So let's get a timer going. And that's where a sound mind comes in. I find that whenever I create a gap between me and the Father, the soundness of my mind and decisions and emotions and where I'm at fluctuates a lot more than when I am walking along with the Father. Does anybody else find that? And the second one's found in Matthew 16, verse 24. And it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life, and you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own, as you continually surrender to my ways.'" And so for me, continually surrendering to the ways of the Father are walking in a life of self-discipline in the ways of Jesus. And then moving to the words of Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. It says that for God has not, we're in the King James here, okay, I've got the King James and the rest of the Passion. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind and self-discipline." In some translations, it translates it a well-balanced mind. And for me, a well-balanced mind brings a well-balanced person. So today, as I share, I want to put a disclaimer out. I am not a psychologist. I'm not much of a theologian. And a lot of the stuff I'm going to refer to, I am still feeling in and still working through because I am just normal like you. But what I hope you get from some of the stuff I share today is helpful because they're principles that I have been struck by and want to try and bring into my own life. And so I believe the one of the main things that contributes to the opposite of a sound mind, the opposite of self-discipline, is a lack of peace. And forgive me, this is something I shared a little bit about this before Christmas on a Wednesday night, but I've got into it a wee bit further and put a bit more meat to the bones. And so I believe the opposite of those things that the enemy sends in our way is a lack of peace. And for me, the biggest thing for my lack of peace is a lack of patience. Anybody else here in the same place? My peace is stolen because of my patience. And I tell you, the older I get, nearly 40, the less patience I seem to have, especially with drivers, especially with people on the roads. One writer that I follow online said this, that war is in patience and peace is patience. And I found that to be true in my life, that the more peaceful the more patient I try to be, the more peaceful life is, not just for the sake of it, but actually with how I respond, how I live. And it's not always the answer. And as I was thinking about this week, I was chatting to Neil. One of the podcasts I was listening to was talking about a lack of curiosity. And I found that with me, a lack of curiosity is one of the causes of impatience with me. For example, on our way home on Friday night, we were coming home from London from Eli's nan's funeral. And we got stuck behind a car doing 35 in a 60-mile-an-hour zone. Neil was in the back on the phone. He was oblivious. But William could see how frustrated I was getting and wanted to overtake this person. But as I thought back to that situation, I thought, right, would my patience be different if I was face-to-face with this person, ended up being an old person in a Citroen? If I was face-to-face and asked them, why are you driving so slow? Well, actually, I had a really bad accident a few weeks ago. I'm really timid on the road. Okay, I'm so sorry. I would have stayed 100 meters back from you. Why are you so timid when you're driving? Actually, I'm just really not confident. My eyesight's going. I find that curiosity can often be a cure for my impatience. to slow down and to ask questions. Now, don't ask my children this, because sometimes they can test your patience and you don't want to ask questions. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. I just want to pull a few things out of this as we move forward thinking about our sound mind, our self-discipline, living as people of peace. As for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and sin that can so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. For the path has already been marked before us. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who opposed their own souls, so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressure. Or so that you, like Jesus, can have a sound mind, a life of endurance through self-discipline. And so some things to think about from this passage. Firstly, this is a long distance race, not a sprint. And so the difference between us and the world is that the world are racing against each other. They're racing at a speed that is going to lead to burnout. They are racing against each other. But as people that love Jesus, we are in this together. A people that learn to how to walk in peace with one another on this long race that we are a part of, because we know where the end leads to. And we want to hear, just like on Friday at the funeral, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I sat there for that 2.5 hour funeral, which was brilliant. But the whole way through it, thought, I hope people talk of me the same when I finish. Not just one or two, but hundreds of people. Well done. You've walked this race well and have pointed to Jesus. So there are three things I want to focus on from that passage: that we might have this peace, that we might live a patient life with a sound mind at the core, one that is fruitful and that is sacrificial. And the first thing is this, it's very simple. Get rid of your heavy weights that are slowing you down. Now, for some of us, that's a diet. Okay, I started my diet this week. That's, he said, every Monday. Get rid of the heavy weights. But what I'm talking about today, the heavy weights are this: let go of old wounds that have pierced you. Things that people have done against you that are continuing to live their life. They don't have a clue how you feel, but it's still dragging you down. It's still pulling you back. And the sins that drag us down. Do you know that the purpose of this is to steal our peace? It's to take our eyes off the Savior. The devil wants us entangled in our sinful nature because he knows it will take our eyes off what God has called us to do and who he has called us to be, the sons and daughters that we are. He wants us looking down. He wants us feeling guilty. He wants us being knocked down and destroyed. These things can restrict us both spiritually and physically. I found that sometimes if I get into a place where my sinful nature takes me down and down and down, it not only affects who I am as a child of God spiritually in my prayer life, in my reading life, in the outward expression, but also it starts to have physical signs in my body. The enemy wants to pull you down, to take your eyes off the one who loves you. Some translations in that said, the sin that clings closely to obstruct you. Can I ask you what this morning, and I've asked myself over and over this week, what is it that is obstructing me? Might not be blocking, might just be an obstruction from stepping fully into who I am as a child of God. And on that point, I want to say this: it's okay to feel. And it's okay to fail over and over and over. I heard a great quote this week by Jeff Bezos about one employee. Jeff Bezos, anybody know who he is? He's the man that owns Amazon, started in his garage. He said about an employee who lost him £400,000 or dollars in one day. What are you going to do about that employee that lost you $400,000 in one day? Are you going to fire him? And his answer was, no, I've just spent $400,000 training him. And so what I want to suggest is, I don't want to condone, let's keep going over and over and over and over and over in the same place. I think what the Father is saying, listen, sin is there. It's going to be a part of your life. But what can you learn from when you've fallen or when you've tripped? What things can you put in place where you know that you're weak? What things can you put in place where you have accountability from someone or something? We don't want it to trip us up or entangle us. We want freedom from it. And this freedom is found where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It's okay to fail. And there's a cost to peace and sacrifice and genuine love. It means that you and I may need to live our lives at a different pace to those around us. We naturally, as humans, to run a long race, number two, to run a long race, you need good patience. Start quick and are quick to finish. Does anybody know people like that? They're on fire for the Lord for a few weeks, a few months, a year, and next thing they disappear. They haven't learned how to endure. They haven't learned how to walk through things. And so we're called to live at a different pace. We always want shortcuts. And one thing I found that is a natural bent of mine, we want to get to the end goal without the process and the pain that sometimes is in the process that we're walking through. I have started back to the gym. I think I always say that every time I preach here. But what I found is that when I'm lifting weights, I went in this week and I expectantly thought, I'm going to be able to lift what I lifted the last time I was here a few months ago. That was not the case. What I need to learn is that over these next number of weeks, I am going to have to incrementally increase the load that I'm able to carry or able to lift to get back to where I was. And it's the same as we run this race. This is not a quick fix. When we meet the Savior, sometimes miraculous happens. And I've heard people that have been taken off alcohol or drugs or smoking or other addictions or mindsets or forgiveness that happens miraculously. Those things happen, brilliant. But actually, the beauty is in the process of those incremental differences that start to happen as we make tiny little choices every day to put aside the things that hinder us and to focus fully on the Savior. For those car enthusiasts, is there anyone? William, you were with me. You were with me all day Friday, so it's dangerous before I preach. William loves cars, but what I find is this: we all are enthusiastic about stuff, and enthusiasm is like NOS. Does anybody know what NOS is? So NOS is a thing. It's a tank of gas. What is it? What is it? Nitrogen oxide. Nitrogen something that's in a car, and whenever you're racing in a straight line because you couldn't take turns, you put this and the engine goes and you go way faster for a short burst. And so what I found in my Christian life and in life in general, enthusiasm is like that NOS. You get a short burst, but it won't last. The fuel tank is discipline. The fuel tank that needs to be refilled over and over and over and watched as the gauge goes up and down is discipline. And so today, it's a hard subject to talk about, but we need to start living in this time as people that are disciplined because we know the end goal. We know the purpose that has been given to us now to point towards Jesus and to be the light in the people that we meet this week. So what comes from living a life that is full of peace, of patience, that is disciplined, one of sound mind? I want to suggest a few things. The first one is we become people of mercy. We know the verse, mercy triumphs over what? Come on, participate. Good man. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, my disclaimer at the start, still guilty of this, and I'm sure I will be guilty in the future. But I need to learn to start being someone of mercy instead of judgment. And too often Christians are known as people of judgment. We go back to a preach that Neil has done a wee while ago about the good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite, they didn't stop along the road because their religion stopped them. Their religion stopped them having mercy. But the Samaritan, the pagan of the day, stopped and helped. We need to be known as people of mercy. The second thing that comes as we practice these disciplines is that we are people of forgiveness. We are people that learn to have short accounts with each other, short accounts with the Father, and learn to wipe the slate clean very quickly and continue on this journey together. We learn to be people of empathy. As we see what the Father has done for us, as we thank him for the forgiveness that he has given to us, as we learn to be patient and walk in peace and think clearly, we become people of empathy. We become people of generosity, that we want to sow into others as God has sown into us, that we want to help people in a place where they don't want to be and they need to get out of it. And we become a people of opportunity. As we start to live these lives with the sound mind that people want to be around, people that are disciplined and know how to live life well, it opens opportunity for us in our communities, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our families. But it takes patience and it takes time. In Psalm 130, verse 5-6, King David said, "I expectantly wait for the Lord." I stop and I take time to say, "Prince of Peace, King of Kings, will you align my heart with yours? Will you bring transformation to me so that I can bring transformation to those around me?" In Luke 6:45, says a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So can I suggest this morning that what we say flows not, our sound mind flows not from our mind, but from our heart. A cultivated heart. And if Neville were here, he would like an illustration about farming, because cultivation is a messy thing where land is churned up and stuff is put in and stuff is dragged out and stones are taken away. And so a sound mind comes from a cultivated heart. The third thing in this passage, still in Hebrews, by the way, says you look, third thing is this. We are told to look away from our natural realm and fasten our gaze onto Jesus. Got a wee short video for you. Some of you have seen it before.
Okay, one last time. These are small, but the ones out there are far away. Small, far away. I forget.
Father Ted. I know Paul's a big Father Ted fan. So what's the point in this? We look away from the natural realm and we gaze onto Jesus. What I find is ultimately when you are far away from something, you can't see the reality of it. So can I argue that our proximity to Jesus will affect the soundness of our mind? Our proximity to Jesus will affect how we are walking in self-discipline. And our proximity to Jesus, can I suggest, is never Jesus' fault.
You can argue with Neil after if you disagree with that. He'll have some theological answer. Our proximity I feel
for me is decisions that I make, choices that I make on a small incremental daily basis. He's always wanting to draw near, to bring transformation. But as we focus our gaze on Jesus, we need to say, God, what is it that is hindering me drawing closer and closer to you? Our task is to follow his steps. Our proximity to Jesus will affect our sound mind and our self-discipline. And so the way we find this practically, and knowing and trusting his character, how do we do that? You know, I always like to try and bring something practical in. How do we walk in the way of Jesus? Can I suggest something very revolutionary and very simple? The way that we get to know the character of Jesus and walk in his ways and have a sound mind and have self-discipline is to read the Bible. Nobody shocked by that, no? Read the Bible. Further on in the passage that I used at the start in 1 Timothy, Paul says this to him, hold onto the pattern of wholesome teaching that you've received. There's patterns and wisdom that can be found as we read specifically in the New Testament that can bring transformation to our lives. If you're at a place right now where you're just lost and don't know what to do, the place to start is reading through the red words of Jesus. And do you know what the brilliant thing is? We are not doing it alone. We read it in communion with the Holy Spirit and with each other. And so a study done in America a couple of years ago, it got people to read the Bible consistently 4 times a week over a period of months, the key word consistently. And they found this. Now, I don't really like stats, but it's pretty good. The first one is this, that feeling lonely dropped 30%. Anger issues dropped 32%. Bitterness in relationships dropped 40%. Alcoholism dropped 57%. Sex outside of marriage dropped 68%. Feeling spiritually stagnant dropped 60%. Viewing pornography dropped 61%. Sharing your faith jumped 200%. And discipling others jumped 230%. Now, can I suggest that some of these people were just reading for the sake of reading? They weren't reading with a posture of, speak to me, Lord. So as we read the Bible, I believe that the counselor comes. He brings wisdom. He brings peace. And the Holy Spirit starts to bring transformation to our hearts. He starts to poke at those little things gently in love. And I would love to say this, as in all of this, if you forget everything I said today, the key is a posture of, God, I just want to be in love with you. I want to fall in love with you all over again. I want to understand who I am. This is the key. An honest conversation with the Father saying, God, please bring transformation to my heart and to my mind. Speak to me through your word. Speak to me through your spirit. Speak to me through your people. Practically, it's going to be a wrestle as we start to be self-disciplined and have a sound mind. It will be a wrestle. But let me just leave you with some practical things that I've written down. Number one, have people that think differently to you in your life and spend time with them. I'm not talking about just Christians. Have people from different backgrounds, different ways of thinking, different denominations, and spend time with them. Number two, see life through the eyes of others. When we came home, Nicola and I, from our trip a few weeks ago, our boys were very keen to talk to us about a young man called Ishmael staying at the castle. And what I realized in them spending time with them, it brought a different perspective to what they had. It changed their views. Now, maybe just for a couple of days, they're back to normal. But it changed their views and opinions on where they were living, what they had, how blessed they were. Spend time and see through other people's eyes. B, Be thankful and worship. I preached on this a couple of years ago, that thankfulness rewires the brain. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. Start your day with thankfulness. Have someone trusted that you can talk to. Don't share your innermost secrets with the whole world. Please don't put it on Facebook. Share it with people that you trust, that will guard your heart along with you. The next one is this: exercise. Whether it is getting your 10,000 steps, I'm sick and tired. They have a step competition going on, some of the ladies, and every night before bed. It is. Those don't count. Anybody else believe me? It has to be a proper walk or those don't count. Get some exercise in. And as you're, even if it's a slow walk, just spend time thanking the Father, listening to music. It's very important. Be curious. Ask questions. I'll talk a wee bit more about that just before I end. Be careful what you fill your mind with. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful what thought patterns you get into about things and about stuff and about people. Be willing to let your mind shift, or your mind, I didn't write proper English here, your mind shift be changed. What's your natural bents of rabbit holes that you go down? What are triggers that cause you to walk into sin? Know those weaknesses. Know those times of the year. Whatever it is, have a self-awareness about you and have those people that you can gather around you, along with as we read the Bible and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And so a sound mind and self-discipline can also be impacted by our words. And this as well, it can also, our words can also impact the testimony that we have and the fruit that we have produced. Our words can tear them down in moments. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. There are consequences to our words. God is the creator. Does anybody know how he created? He spoke. He spoke into existence. He made us in his image. Therefore, as we speak, we create. We plant seeds, we build. So how do we speak? Everything starts with our words. And so every time we open our mouth, there is a response from the kingdom of light or the kingdom of dark. Now I say every, but sometimes we're just talking nonsense and having a bit of crack. But you understand what I'm trying to say. What kingdom are our words aligning with? As our minds are starting to, we're starting to be of sound mind and of good discipline, our words need to align with the kingdom and with the Father. And as we learn to control our tongue, it impacts our thought patterns, our patience, our peace. I've got this much left on page. Are we okay? We're 27 minutes. I'm doing all right, so we're not going to go for 60. But these two are very important as we finish. Key to a sound mind and self-discipline is this: critical thinking. A sound mind comes when we ask the right questions. And a couple of weeks ago, when I was listening to a preacher, he used this illustration. He said that the educational system we have now is to learn facts and regurgitate and do exams, which I hate. Anybody else? There's some people probably love it because they get like A stars all the time, but I was never that pupil. And so I feel it doesn't really lend itself to learning very well. But in the rabbinical times, in Jesus' time, critical thinking was key. So when they were asked a question, they were taught to respond with an answer. So 2 + 4 = the answer would not be 6, but would be 8 - 2. And so what I have found as I start to think, and I don't mean critically as in, that was really bad, you're really bad. I mean critically thinking, right, let's process this. Let's start to be smarter. What I have found is that it causes me to slow down and think about my response. Not all the time. But it should cause us to slow down and think about our response. To learn not to just go with the herd, but to think differently. That third way that we've learned about, the way that Jesus learned and thought and lived differently. And the last one is this. And I should have a couple of pictures to go along with this. This is for us, we, as we try to put this together, for us to live it out. The key to self-discipline, a sound mind, peace, is this. We need to have a choice. Let me explain that. We were over, have you got that picture up there, the last one? Where Nicola and I, we visited this lady in Florida. Her name's Mary, and she works with homeless people. And she's just bought an old motel. And the purpose of this is she is going to make every room as like a house for people to live in, with a kitchen, bathroom, bed, all that there. And the thing she said to me that day and has not left my mind is homeless people deserve a choice. And what I found is this world, the enemy, circumstances take people's choices away. And as they don't have a choice in how they get to eat today, what they get to wear, where they get to go, where they get to go to school, if they get to own a house, so they have to rent a house, or they're thrown out of a house, whatever it is, if they don't have choices, it will impact their sound mind and it will impact the discipline that's in their life, and it will affect their view of everyone around them. And so what she wants to do is give people that are homeless the choice to have their place to call home. And I think this is so important as we work together. What can we do this week to give people a choice? Whether it's financial, whether it's the food that they have on their table, whether it is relational, people that do not have the choice to get out of a place where they're being abused or something. How can we let people make choices? And on a more positive note, on choice this week, I was listening to another podcast, and it was saying that when people have a choice in something, they engage more. And he was talking about your kids. If you want to get them to eat a salad, you give them the choice to make it and to participate in that. And then as they've made it, they proudly start to eat it. And they've done a study in a nursing home where they give one group of people plants that they were told, this is when you have to water it, this is what you do, boom, boom, boom. And the other one, they were saying, these are your plants, look after them. No instruction, look after them. Do you know which plants died? The ones with rules, set times, do, do, do. But the ones that had freedom and choice and took ownership, it flourished. So this week, how can we help people make choices? Starting at home, starting work, in school. So as we finish this week, can I just ask you, can we keep talking? Keep talking about this, about what it looks like for you to have a sound mind. Maybe talk with your trusted person about the things that pull you down or trip you up, that we can become aware with each other on this journey and help each other. Can I encourage you to just pick up and read the Word of God? Start in the New Testament, just read. If it's one verse, just read it and let it go over and over and think about it and talk about it. Pray about it. Engage in the Word. And lastly, can I encourage you, if anything today has hit you or you're struggling, get help. Get help from someone who can help you. Get help from someone that encourages you and someone that cares for you. Amen. Thanks, guys. Neil, you want to pray there as we finish? We miss your wee voice when you're not up here.
I really was up. Thanks, David. Good stuff. I hope you do remember some of that, some of what David said, because David doesn't remember very well what he said the last time he was up here. Because he spoke here on the 5th of November, 2023. So it clearly had an impact on him when he shared with us. Sabbath rest, David. It was very good. Yeah, but thanks. That's really good. I really appreciate that. And Really helpful. So, Father, thank you for what we've heard. And I pray that each one of our hearts and our minds would be, would just continue to be open and receptive to what you want to say. God, just don't allow what we've, how we've worshipped and what we've offered you in worship and what we've learned through the opening of your word, just to be something that we, that is, that stays here. But I pray that we would continue to be open to what your spirit wants to do in us. God, we acknowledge that you, that you are continuing to want to participate with us in our transformation. And so, God, I pray that we would remain open in our conversation, remain open in our hearts and minds, what you want to say. God, so I thank you for David. I bless him. I honor him. I thank you for his openness to your word, his openness to other voices. And God, I pray that you would bless each one of us today over dinner. Bless each one of us as we go about our work this week. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would empower us, equip us, enable us for all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you all. Hope to see you somewhere throughout this week, whether it's the ladies or Church of Ireland or back here over the weekend. Bless you all.